Timothy, and reading from the 15th verse down to the 19th verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The scripture said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their words shall eat as doth a canker or a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection's past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless," everybody say, "nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the foundation that standeth sure. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of changes that are happening. The Bible said in the last days, what can be shaken will be shaken. Amen. And so we got a lot of stuff happening all around us. There's a lot of stuff moving and changing. Things that we didn't think would change have changed. But I'm telling you tonight that there is a foundation that is sure. There is a foundation that is steadfast. Amen. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. The Lord bless you. May be seated. Hallelujah. Paul wrote to a young man in the gospel by the name of Timothy. And he said, first of all, Timothy, I want you to study. I want you to prepare yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Hear me tonight. We still need to do some preparation. Hallelujah. We still need to do some study. Hallelujah. We still need to know. David said, "Thy word will I hide in my heart that I may not sin against thee." This is the thing that will keep us. The Bible said, "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way?" He said it's going to be with the word, with the washing of the word. The word of God still gives us cleanliness and purity of heart. It'll give you a pure mind. It'll give you a clean heart. It'll help you to keep your hands clean. It'll help you to keep your tongue straight. It'll help you to do everything right. If we can just get enough of the word, folks, it's going to help us. So he said, you got to study. Amen. To show thyself approved. The word proved as something that has been tested and tried. And after it's been tested and tried, it is proven that it's what it says it is. It's the genuine article, and it will stand the test. Amen. Some things don't stand the test, do they? The Greek word was dokios. If it's dokios, that means it stood the test. If it's adokios, it means it failed. It didn't make it. Amen. It's in the bargain basement. You can get it cheap, but you can't count on it. You can't depend on it. Amen. Hey, I want to be dependable. How about you? Amen. I want to be like Isaiah after the Lord touched him. "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Amen. And now when he sends me, I want to be able to stand the test. I want to know that I've been approved of the Lord. You might as well understand something about God tonight. He's going to try you. He said he would. But in all fairness, he said, "Try me." Hallelujah. I kind of like the old way of trying stuff out before you buy it. If I'm going to buy a car, I want to test it first. Amen. I want to get in there and kick the tires and smell the leather, if there is any, or whatever's in it, the chemicals. Amen. And here, when I get ready, I don't want anybody telling me. When I get ready, I want to see if it's got any get up and go. I like things that's got get up and go. I don't know about you, but when I punch it, I want it to go somewhere. If it just won't pull a hat off your head, we're not even getting out of the parking lot. That's not for me. Amen. I want some, when I punch it, it's gonna jump. Amen. Because the way I drive, I need to jump. Amen. And so I want to try it out. I want to see if it's dokios or not. If it's not dokios, I don't want it. Amen. And so God's going to try you, and God's going to try me. He's going to see what we're made out of, and He's going to show us what we're made out of. God wants you to know what you're made out of. Amen. So He's going to try us. Amen. And so that's what He did with Job, and Job was dokios. Amen. He was tried. He was true. When it was all over, he stood firm and stood the test, and he was still there when the trial passed over. Amen. So He said, I want you to study so that you can show yourself true, tested, faithful. When it's all said and done, you'll still be there. Amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate you folks tonight for being here. I appreciate the faithful folks of God. Amen. I really do. I appreciate people that just keep coming. Amen. When we do good, when we do bad, you're still here. Amen. If I preach a good sermon, you're here. If I preach a bad one, you're still here. If we sing a good song, you're here. If we mess up, you're still here. Because you're not here because of me, and you're not here because of the singer. You're because of Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Grissom didn't put you in the church. Amen. Nobody else put you in the church but Jesus Christ. You're not called to be faithful to pastor. You're called to be faithful to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Amen. 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 Praise God. So He will test us. He will try us. Amen. He said a workman. Whew. Amen. A workman. Does that still work? Amen. Amen. There are show horses and show dogs, but there's not many. And I've tried to figure out why in the world God would want any show Christians in His church. I mean, all they do is stand around and strut around and try to look good. That's all there is to it. Amen. And there's a few race horses. And even racing dogs, I suppose. Amen. And that's what they're there to go fast. And that's what they're all about. Amen. But you know what the most common is? It's just a workhorse. Amen. It just works. It just works. Amen. Praise God. And you know what the most valuable really is? Now, one may cost more than the other, but that one that just works, that's dependable every day. That's the one you count on. Amen. That's the one you count on. The one that runs, he may or may not win a race. The one that you put in the beauty contest may or may not win the beauty contest. But Old Faithful is going to be there every morning. Amen. Nellie's going to be there day and night. Amen. And they're going to carry you through your troubles. Amen. They're going to be there when you need them. Amen. So God still needs workmen in the church. Amen. Somebody that'll just put their hand to the plow and not look back. Somebody that'll set their shoulder to the wheel and give it everything they got. Amen. And not give up, not give in, not give out. Amen. But just keep going. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Tenney said one time what God needs more than anything is just more consecrated plotters. You just put one foot in front of the other foot. Amen. Today was a good day, and you put one foot in front of the other foot. Today's been a real bad day, but you put one foot in front of the other foot. Amen. Somebody hurt my feelings today, but I put one foot in front of the other foot. Amen. I didn't agree with something that went on at church today, but I put one foot in front of the other foot. Amen. Something happened I didn't agree with, but I put one foot in front of the other foot. Amen. You just keep plodding. Amen. You just keep going. You don't let anything get in your way. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You keep your eyes on the prize. Amen. And you just keep going forward. Hallelujah. Amen. He said he needs some workmen. Any workmen here tonight? Thank you. Two of them. Praise the Lord. Great. Good. He said, rightly dividing. Amen. It's a word that talks about like a row center. The first row is important. If you're going to plow a field, you need that first row to be straight, because the other rows are going to be like that one. So if you get somebody that doesn't know what they're doing, or somebody that's been inebriated or something, you don't do very well. But you get somebody that can find the mark and go straight to it. Amen. And then it's rightly divided. And after that, the next one will be rightly divided. And after that, the next one will be rightly divided. And the next one will be rightly divided. Amen. Praise God. It's got to be straight. Amen. It's like the cornerstone of a building. When you set that first stone, it's got to be right. Now, it may not matter much if you're just building a fence in your backyard and you don't care about whether it's ugly or not, and you don't really care how strong it is. But if you're going to build a skyscraper, you better get that first one just perfect. Amen. Because a little off here is going to be a whole bunch off once you get up there. Amen. It's got to fit just right. It's got to be rightly divided. It can't be off in any degree. It's got to be right on the mark and right on the money. It's got to be just perfect. And so he said, when it comes to the Word of God, you can't be off a little bit. I said, you can't be off a little bit. It's got to be right on. Amen. Praise God. It can't vary. It's always got to be the same. Amen. It does not change. It's got to be just right. Amen. He said, "You, when it comes to the Word, you rightly divide that, Timothy." Amen. And then he talks about some people that didn't. He talks about some folks that were not very good at it. And the next verse, he talks about profane and vain babblings. The word profane means words that you wouldn't use in church. There are some words that you might use out there, but you wouldn't use them here. So why would you use them out there? Amen. I was saying Sunday morning, we need to watch our speech a little more. I noticed that our speech is getting a little coarse. And we're using some terms that Christians don't really need to be using. They're not curse words, but they sure are a little shady. Amen. It sure lets us know where they came from. And if you'll listen to the Holy Ghost, he'll help you clean your vocabulary up. Amen. What other people are saying it, so what? So what? I heard Brother So-and-so say it, so what? Amen. I hope the Holy Ghost will talk to you and talk to me, that we'll get some things cleaned up. We'll get some things straight. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to take my goal from the lowest standard that I can find. What the lowest on the totem pole's doing. If you take your direction and your convictions from that individual, you're headed one way. And it ain't up. Amen. Praise God. Set your eyes on the prize. Get up at the top of it and say, "That I want to be like Jesus." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Profane and vain babblings. Amen. Just talking to hear your lips clap together. It's like the fellow I heard one time. He said, "Now before I preach," he said, "I want to say something." Well, I hope I say something when I preach. That's kind of the goal, you know. Amen. But I wasn't real sure what was going to happen after that. vain babblings. Vain babblings. Amen. And so he said that they're empty. The word vain means empty. Empty babblings. Empty stuff. Amen. I don't want to be given to just empty stuff that whenever I finish, what is it somebody said, when it's all said and done, more has been said than done. That's vain babbling. Amen. Vain babbling. That's not what we're here for. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. They're already ungodly, but it'll just keep getting worse. Have you ever noticed that when conversation takes a wrong turn, it just keeps getting worse? Have you ever noticed that if somebody tells a little off-color story, that then it's easier to tell a more off-color story? That if you just begin to allow a few things to creep in to your conversation, that it's not long before it just keeps going that way. Amen. That's what he's talking about here. He said it increases to more ungodliness. It starts out just as something you wouldn't use in church. Starts out as just a bunch of empty words that don't have any meaning for anything. He said, but if you keep giving into that, it just keeps going to more ungodliness. Amen. So we need to be careful about our conversation. Amen. Yes, we do. Hallelujah. Amen. Once it gets headed the wrong way, it's hard to get it straightened out. It can be done, praise God, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. The bad thing about getting away from truth is that it's a road and it just continues, and you just keep getting further and further away from the truth. That's why it's dangerous to try to change the old paths and decide, well, we need to streamline this thing. Amen. We need to make this more acceptable. Amen. We need to broaden our views. Amen. And you got to be careful about what you change, because once you start down that road, you'll change things that you didn't intend to change in the beginning. But after a while, the things that seemed important to you won't seem important anymore. The things that you held dear in the beginning don't hold the same meaning now. Be careful. That's a dangerous road. Paul is talking about some people that took that turn in the early church. And he calls them by name. I don't know these fellows. They're not mentioned often or anywhere else. They're just, this is it. But their names are linked to false doctrine. And he just calls them out. Hymenaeus and Philetus, he said. Just calls their names. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. There were two errors in the early church concerning resurrection. There was one group of people that taught when you were baptized and you would rise to walk in the newness of life, that was resurrection. But after you died, there was no other resurrection. And there was another bunch that taught that your resurrection was in your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. But that when you died, it was just all over. Amen. But that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture, Jesus said, amen, that he was the first fruits of the resurrection. And if the Spirit that dwelt in Christ dwells also in you, it shall quicken, make alive your mortal body. Hallelujah. He said, this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption. Hallelujah. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. The Bible makes it very plain that there is a resurrection of the body. Amen. The only thing that makes Jesus truly different than other people concerning his death was his resurrection. Amen. And he said it's not just for him, it's also going to be for all of us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for the resurrection. But you see what can happen when you get off track? Amen. He said it's like a canker. It's like a cancer. It eats away. And what I've noticed about people that go off into false doctrines is them, they not only hate the truth, they hate people that hold the truth. They get bitterness in their heart and their spirit. Amen. I've heard some of those people. When years and years ago, they were in the same meetings that I was in. And they worshiped the same God I worshiped. And they shouted just like we shouted. And they talked in tongues just like we talked in tongues. And they were seemed to be glad to be a part of it. But something happened somewhere. Amen. And it's like a cancer. It eats away. Amen. Be careful. Don't let that happen tonight. Amen. Be very careful about allowing those things to get in your heart. Now, I want you to understand something tonight. He said, even though some will get off into false doctrines, and some will get off into profane and vain babblings. Amen. He said, nevertheless, I want you to know one thing, that there is a foundation that standeth sure. And he names that foundation. He said, the foundation of God. Now, what is the foundation of God? I think Jesus described it very aptly in the book of Matthew when he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. I want you to know something tonight, folks. We are built on a rock. Hallelujah. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You're not hanging on a rope. I don't like that analogy for Christians. Amen. When I get to the end of your rope, tie a knot. If you're a Christian, you're not on a rope. You're on a rock. You don't have to worry about ropes. Amen. You're not hanging by a string. You're not holding on by a thread. But you got your feet on a rock. Hallelujah. And it'll stand in the storm. No matter what comes or what's happening, what goes, that rock is going to remain. It's a solid foundation. That's the foundation of God he's talking about. Amen. Now, a foundation in English can be two things, as it was in the Greek. A foundation may be exactly that, the substructure of a building. Amen. And Jesus is our substructure. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the Word of God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. Hallelujah. He is the Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. That's the only thing that's going to stand, folks. That's our foundation. That's what we're built on. And secondly, a foundation is something that has been founded. Amen. Cherie, when she was little, when we talked about the founder of our country, she said, who lost it? Amen. Well, the founder is the one that laid the foundation. He made it. Amen. There are foundations. There are financial, monetary foundations. There are educational foundations. There are all kinds of foundations. Amen. And when the foundation bears the name of the one that founded it. Amen. And so the church is his foundation. Hallelujah. We are in the foundation of Jesus Christ. He made this. It's his church. Amen. Praise God. Don't ever forget whose church it is. And don't let anybody take you out of it. Amen. Jesus puts you in the church, and he's not going to take you out of the church, so don't let anybody else do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's his church. Amen. So he said, that's the foundation that standeth sure. Woo, here we are. Here we are, almost 2,000 years later. And I mean to tell you, it's been fed the lions, but the lions couldn't eat it. It's been put in the fire, but the fire couldn't burn it. Amen. They tried to drown it in water and boil it and oil. They've done everything that can possibly be done to the church, but it's still here tonight. And guess what? It's still stronger than it's ever been. It's larger than it's ever been. It's all over the world today. You have brothers and sisters in every nation that hold this same faith. Amen. Baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, evidence speaking other tongues, living a holy life. Amen. They're all around the world, folks. They're not getting more scarce. They're becoming more common every day. Just letting you know tonight, this church is not in any danger of falling and failing. Amen. It's steadfast. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said it stands sure, having this seal. Now there is a seal that lets us know about the church. Whether I'm in the church and whether the church exists today. When the seal, in Bible times, they use seals to authenticate something. We still do. Let's see. This is 100% olive oil. It's got a name on it. Royal Classics. That's who that is. There's a seal on there. Somebody thought enough of this to put their seal on. Amen. And, on the side of it, they got another little seal that even has a guarantee on there. Somebody cared enough about their product that they said, we'll just put our seal on that. Amen. And so that's, when it talks about a seal today, that means that it's genuine. That means that, and so what is the seal of the church? He lists two things that are the seal of the church. First of all, he talks about the Lord knows them that are his. God knows his kids. I said, God knows his children. He knows who belongs to him. Woo! Hallelujah. That's a pretty good seal. Amen. I've often thought how God must feel when he looks down, Brother Bacon over in that shop, and I don't know, I haven't been over there, but I assume that not everybody's a Christian. And sometimes they probably talk like maybe they're not Christians. And if they hit their thumb, they probably, most of them, don't talk like they're Christians. And amen. But you know what? When he sees one of his, and he sees you hit your thumb, and you go, woo! My, thank you, Lord. Amen. That's real different than what we used to do. And the Lord grins and said, that's one of mine. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know, I think it's a good thing whenever people today, and we can, I thank God there's still people that know how to blush. I didn't say wear it. I said they just do. People that still get embarrassed when they hear filthy language and vile and ugly things. That's not very common in the world anymore. We have drifted so far and become so coarse that a blush is a rare thing to see. But thank God there's still men and there's still women that can blush because we're not used to hearing profanity and things that are vile and ungodly, and we still don't approve of it. And God said, that's one with a red face, that's one of mine. The one with his hands over his ears, blah, 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 that's mine. The one that don't want to hear it, that's mine. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Amen. That happened way back in the Old Testament. Amen. One day, there was a guy that got a bee in his bonnet and decided he wanted to be the cock of the walk. He said, Moses, who are you to be giving orders around here? I'm every bit as good a man as you are. Amen. I think I'm just going to start giving some orders myself. I think I'll just lead this bunch. So Moses had a little suggestion for Korah. He said in Numbers chapter 16, verse 5, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. He said, God's going to choose. We'll see tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow. If you remember the story correctly, Korah appeared with his bunch and Moses with his group. And the Bible says the earth swallowed up, opened up its mouth and swallowed Korah and all of his company. And they went down into a pit and the earth closed over them. And God entered them in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You talk about a solemn assembly. But I want you to know the Lord knows them that are his. Don't you forget it. Don't you forget it. Amen. That's why we're Christians every day, no matter where we are. Amen. It's okay for Christians to take vacations, but not from Christianity. Amen. You're just as much a Christian when you're away from here as you are when you are here. This is something that's 365 days a year. Amen. There's no vacations from Christianity. Amen. Praise God. I heard about a guy one time. He said, Pastor, I won't be at church next week. He said, oh, you going somewhere? He said, no. He said, just I'm on vacation. Huh? That went right over my head. Hey, aren't you glad God doesn't take vacations from us? Huh? What if the Lord just said, well, you know, I'm on vacation this week. Y'all just make out the best you can. Don't anybody get sick or need to be saved or die. Amen. I'll be back in a few days. I'm just taking a little vacation. Nothing wrong with vacations, but hey, let's be Christians every day. Let's be Christians every day. Amen. Praise God. The Lord knows them that are his. And he's glad to point it out. Remember what he said about to Satan? Satan said, I've been walking to and fro on the earth. And Jesus said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Amen. He's faithful. He's faithful. Well, it's just because you've been blessing him. He said, oh, no, no, no. Whether I bless him or not, he's going to be faithful. Oh, it's just because all the stuff he's got. You take away the stuff, he'll curse you. No, he won't. He's faithful. Lost his stuff, he's still faithful. You touch his body, amen, he'll curse you. No, he won't. He's faithful. Boils head to feet. You talk about bad shape. Amen. Faithful. Faithful. God knows them that are his. And the second thing he said is he said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. One of the ways that we know a Christian is because they have left behind wrongdoing. They have left sin behind them. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, how in the world do they cast out devils then? How do they heal the sick then? How do they prophesy then? God may use you and not approve you. There are people that think they're using God, but God is using them. And in the end, they're going to be discarded and cast out like the garbage. They've made a profit off of his name. Amen. You know what? Folks that need to be healed, if they pray in the name of Jesus and have faith, they can get healed. It has nothing to do with the man that's praying for you. Hello? Hello? Amen. These people that chase around after preachers thinking if so-and-so will pray for me, I'll be healed. You got your faith in the wrong one. Let me say it again. You got your faith in the wrong one. Let me say it again. You got your faith in the wrong one. It's not about a man. It's about Jesus. And to God be all the glory. Amen. Yeah, there's a lot of people today that are using the name of Jesus. Yes, they are. They're making a profit off of him. But in the end, he's going to say, I didn't know you. You were never mine. Well, that's sobering, isn't it? That's sobering. Amen. Praise God. Well, how do we know then? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, I'm sorry, in Luke chapter 13, he said, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. So he said, that was his word, depart from iniquity. So Paul said, if you are in the church, you depart from lawlessness, from iniquity. You depart from sin. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Is that what he said? He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he also said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, because you have a bumper sticker on your car that says, honk if you love Jesus. No, sir, that wasn't what he said. Because you wear a little golden cross around your neck on a pretty chain. That wasn't what he said. Amen. Praise God. He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples because you love me. That wasn't what he said either. He said, because you have love one to another. John said, if a man say that he loves God whom he has not seen and hates his brother whom he has seen, he's a liar. We got to love one another, folks. I said, we got to love one. That is the sign Jesus said that people are going to see. Now, he sees other signs, but he said, by this shall all men know. This is how people are going to know you're a Christian. It really disturbs me whenever I hear Christians say about somebody else, I can't stand that person. Mm-hmm. All Christians wouldn't say that, but I've heard people say that were in a church. Woo! Amen. We need to be kind to one another. We need to be good to one another. We need to love one another. Amen. Praise God. You got to be good to folks. Amen. So Jesus just made it real plain. He said, this is how people are going to know that you're my disciples, because you have love one to another. I have known some families, and anybody in my own family, not my immediate family, but in my family, we have had some people that are special needs. We have had some that had mental problems. We have had some that had physical afflictions. And in both cases, I don't know of anybody that mistreated them. Maybe that happened, but never happened when I was around. Amen. As far as I could tell, they were just as much a part of our family as everybody else. At family reunions, they were just as welcome. And people went out of their way to talk to them, make them a part, even though they were a little different than everybody else. So why is it that in the church, when somebody's a little different, or somebody's having some difficulties, we don't want to be around them? Why is it that in the church, we want to kill the wounded? That make any sense, does it? Amen. This is not for perfect people. If it was, get out quick as you can. You're going to mess it up. There are no perfect people in the church, not one. But we're all trying. I said, we're all trying. I said, I hope we're all trying. Let me qualify that. I hope we're all trying. Amen. Praise God. So there's two things that we know. If in the church, we know that the Lord knows them that are His. Amen. Praise God. It's not about profession. It's about possession. Amen. It's not enough to profess it. You've got to possess it. Amen. And secondly, he said, if you're going to call the name of Christ, you've got to forsake iniquity. You've got to leave it behind. Amen. Praise God. And those that do that have a sure foundation. Woo! Those that do that have a sure foundation. Praise God. Let's stand together today. One of the great destructions that happened in our culture in the 1960s and early 70s was whenever we brought in situational ethics and relativism, that there is no absolute truth, that you have your truth and I have my truth, but there is no truth, that my truth is as good as your truth. Amen. And so and that was taught in universities, and a lot of people bought into that. Amen. But let me tell you something. That's not going to keep you when life begins to fall apart. You're going to need to know that there is a truth, and there's a foundation that you can stand on. If everything else falls apart, there's a foundation that you can stand on. And it'll be there. And it'll not move. Amen. It's steadfast and sure. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Word of God, the foundation of God, standeth sure. It doesn't change with time. It doesn't change with culture. It doesn't change with conditions. It doesn't change with administrations. It just doesn't change. It's steadfast. It's sure. Amen. Praise God. Aren't you thankful tonight for a foundation that's stable? Something that's going to stand. Something that's going to be there day in and day out. Praise God. Always enjoyed the story of the little girl that her parents had gone next door for a quick visit. They left her at the house just right next door. But while she was gone, storm came up. They heard thunder and watched lightning crashing and flashing, and they knew that the little girl would just be terrified. So they quickly left their neighbor's house, and they ran to their house, and as the rain was slashing down and the thunder was roaring and the lightning was flashing, and they ran as fast as they could up that wet sidewalk. And when they got to the front door, they heard a little voice coming from the inside, and it was singing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. They flung the door open, walked inside, and their little daughter was standing upon the coffee table on top of the big family Bible. And they said, "Honey, what are you doing up there?" She said, "Well, my Sunday school teacher said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I'm just standing on the word." That's what you do, friend. When the world's on fire, you just stand on the word. Hallelujah. When you got trouble in your life, just stand on the word. It's sure. Praise God. Amen, amen. Anybody need a foundation today? Praise God. Your world been rocking. Some things been shaking. Some things been changing. You have some concerns. You're worried. Amen. Why don't you come down and stand on the rock a little bit here tonight? Amen. There's an invitation here. Just come and let's just come to the rock and stand here for just a minute. Try your feet and plant them real firm. Stomp them a little bit. Understand that this is not moving. You're still there, Jesus. Just like you said you would be. Amen. Just come and try it out a little bit here tonight. Amen. Let's come and stand here tonight a few moments in response to the word of the Lord. Just lift our hands and thank God for the foundation. Thank God for the foundation. Thank God for the foundation.